Here we have, who do you think this is? Any ideas? A guess? Not Thomas Edison? Anyone else? Keep it coming. That's it. Who said that? Yeah, Charles Darwin when he was a younger man. And Charles Darwin, of course, came up with his radical theory of evolution. I always think it was pretty hard for Darwin in his day because you either, in a sense, literally believed in the six-day creation or evolution. And there was sort of no healthy combination or middle ground there. And he was forced into an extreme position in one way. But a number of people actually lost their faith over the whole debate on evolution. So that's Charles Darwin. Next one. What does that remind you of? There's a particular scientist, and his debate was in this area. Anybody got an idea? Look at the picture. Look at the picture. Eh? It's the flat earth, so therefore the scientist being? Not Einstein. Galileo. Okay, Galileo, the big debate. The Catholic Church of the day said that there was a flat earth, and Galileo said that no, that there was a round earth. And I think he actually got excommunicated. So that was a big debate in that day. The next one, Fiona. Yes, there you go. We're back to Charles. I thought you'd like that one. Oh, yeah. Ruby is fast approaching the extreme right position. Always huddled over a computer. So there you are. We're returning to our beginnings. Okay, thanks, Fiona. If there was one question in this whole area of science and faith, and there was something in science that would make you waver or doubt, what would it be? Okay? So what I'd like you to do is, if you don't mind, is get up out of your seats, walk around, go and talk to someone, and share with them any kind of collision between science and scripture that you have experienced. They're kind of a collision between scripture and science. So everyone just have a free time, a few minutes to get out of your seats and talk to people about this debate. Okay, friends, here we go. So, anybody mention just very briefly what would be an issue for you if there was one? We're kind of collision. Anybody? Yes, Lois. Yeah. So that's a back. Lois saying if she could see apes actually in front of us beginning to slowly turn into. Yeah. If it's a process, it still should be going. This is what Lois is arguing. Anybody else here from the floor? Thanks, Lois. I could have played on that for a little while, but I chose to zip. Anyone else? This collision, yes, Justin. Yes. Yeah. 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 So there's the date of the universe. There's the long date and the short date. Okay. Anybody else? Where's a collision occurred? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Did you all hear that? So if a person is created in the image of God and there's life elsewhere, is that your... Yeah. Shelley, is that right? So that's a... That's a question that Shelley has. She's studying at Bible College. anyone else? Anyone else? A collision. Okay. There's a collision. There's a number of collisions in Scripture. And that's our topic. That's our text. This is where we're going to this morning. So if you've got your Bibles, you might need one. We have some to hand out for you to return. But if you need one, hands up. Anybody need a Bible? Yes, over here. So just they're just at the back there, Glenn. Thanks. If you could come with me to Joshua chapter 10. Joshua 10. Okay. So we're up to this passage. And verse 12. Thanks, Glenn. Okay, and one over here for Neville. Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah. Okay, if you could come with me to Joshua 10 and verse 12. And it reads like this. Well-known passage. At that time, Joshua... So the context here is that Joshua and the Israelites are in battle and they are needing a bit of divine assistance. They're needing some miraculous help. And so we're picking it up, verse 12. And at that time, Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord gave the Amorites over to the sons of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, that's S-U-N, stand still at Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood, people, still. And the moon stopped until the nation took vengeance on their enemies. And is this not written in the book of Jazar? I just made that up. The sun stopped in the midst of the heaven and did not hurry to set for about a whole day. And there has been no day like it before or since when the Lord heeded the voice of a person. For the Lord fought for Israel. And you see, maybe we could have that text, Fiona, Isaiah 38. This is another reference to this. It says here, I will make the shadow cast by the sun go back the 10 steps it has gone down on the stairways of Ahaz. So the sunlight went back the 10 steps it had gone down. So it's just another verse highlighting an astronomical miracle. Now, we're all about to have a gastronomical. But what we're talking about here this morning is an astronomical miracle. The sun standing still. Believe it or not. Do you believe it? Do you believe this actually occurred? Okay. The sun standing still. Now, I need some divine assistance this morning. So can you pray for me as I pray? Okay, let's pray. Our God, we come to your word. We come to your scripture. And it is full of event, word, testimony, human struggle, pain and joy. This word is full of life in all its shapes and forms. And here we have this instance when a human being asked for the sun to stop still. Help us, O God, Creator God, to know what you're saying to us in this. Help me, help us this morning. In your name, amen. Okay. So friends, it goes like this. By way of introduction, the sun is a huge sphere. Yes? It is a massive star. Did you know that you could fit 1.3 million Earths inside the sun? Aren't you glad you came this morning? Did you know that the Earth is 109 times greater and bigger than the sun? Did you know? Oh, what did I say? See, that was a test. You all passed. Did you know that if you stretched out the Earth, flattened it out, that 11,990 Earths could stretch out over the surface of the sun? And as I said before, you could place 1.3 million Earths inside the sun. So therefore, we're being told this morning from the scripture that a human being 150 million kilometers away from the sun, or 93 million miles, spoke to this massive star and told it to stand still in the name of his God. And it did. Now, I don't know what you do with that this morning. I didn't know what to do with it all week. I mean, this kind of story, don't you think it's rather spectacular? Don't you think it challenges the imagination? And don't you think it somewhat defies scientific rationalism? People, have I bored you already? You're still Chris. So, my question this morning is this, believe it or not. Now, where are you up to on this one? The sun standing still. Tell the person next to you. Okay, guys, here we go. We could take a vote this morning, but we won't. So where are you up to? You see, it does defy scientific analysis. Are you with me on that one, Justin? That's all right. I knew you had missed it. It does defy, because you see, there is a sense in which the earth rotates around the sun. Is that right? And so therefore, for the sun to, in a sense, stand still, seemingly in a certain position, there would have had to have been an abrupt, sudden stoppage in the earth's rotation. Now, if you have studied Newton, which I haven't, and I'm no scientist, I've just had to work a little bit hard this week. But if you studied Newton, he came up with what is called the law of inertia. Who's heard of this? Show of hands. Oh, wow, this is a literate bunch. The law of inertia says that, now stick with me, and I'll see if I can get this right, that there would have had to have been a sudden stoppage in the rotation of the earth. And everything on the earth would have had to be tied down. Because you see, Newton said that because of this law, objects on the earth continue to travel in a straight line. And there's a particular velocity that they're traveling at. But if they were not tied down, they would race off into orbit. And so little toad frogs and bunny rabbits would be in orbit. And that secondly, we would still see them today if this had occurred. But I don't know when you were last in orbit. But we're not seeing bunny rabbits and toad frogs. Secondly, for the earth to suddenly, abruptly stop in its rotation, there would have been cataclysmic disruptions in the earth's surface. We have no records of them. So therefore, for people who continue to believe, now stick with me on this, for people who continue to believe in this text, some other people would say, well, I know it's close to Christmas, but really you should take some unpaid leave. In other words, they would say, there's a bit of collision here going on between science and scripture. Now, are you still with me this morning? There are four views. There are four theories. I'm going to briefly give them to you. This is not a science lecture this morning, because I want to cut to the chase. Because I do believe God has got something special to speak from this text. But it's important that we do this background work. Okay, so there are four theories. And the four theories go like this. There is the figurative theory. And the figurative theory basically says this. Well, you can't take this passage literally. It's like it seemed that the day was longer. So it's figurative, okay? The problem is, in the text, it reads like historical narrative. Okay? Now, what's another one? Check my notes here. Another one is the naturalistic theory. Now, the naturalistic theory says this. Here's the Earth, and it could have been as though Mars kind of bypassed Earth, slightly tilting the Earth on its axis, and so therefore it was exposed for a longer period to the sun. I know you didn't get that. No, nor did I. But that is a naturalistic... Now, to counter that, it's somewhat hypothetical. No evidence for it. Okay? We're nearly done. The third theory that some people give is, it's called the local theory. In other words, there's the sun, and the sun sheds its rays, And some of the rays of the sun were refracted. Now, there's a word. Some of the rays of the sun were sort of sliced and were made to linger over a local area. The sun had continued to go down, but the rays had been refracted, sliced, made to linger over this local area called Palestine. It's called the local theory. And the last one is literal. Yes, beg your pardon, Bill? You like that one. Well, Bill likes that one. And this actually occurred. And the theory basically goes, well, if there is a creator at the center of the universe and God created that which is, then God has the ability and the power and the wisdom and the know-how to suspend all the laws of the solar system. I mean, if he created it all, he can do this stuff. Now, Bill likes that one. Which of the four do you like? If you don't mind, and if you still like the person that you're seated next to, tell them, go to it. Okay, friends, here we go. I want to now put the science aside. I felt that we just had to do that. And there are a lot of teachers in our room, and I knew you would like it. So I just want to put that aside. We're still left with a second question this morning, and that is, so what is there in this particular passage that we can take into our week? By the way, I do hope you take these messages into your week. Or do you forget them 20 minutes after they've been given? Shall we have a show of hands on that one? Sometimes I say to Ruby, what did I speak on? She's lost it. But here we go. What can we take into this week? There's something really special I want to share. Come with me in this passage to verse 14. And this is the clue. It says here, there has been no day like it before or since. And then it says this profound statement. When the Lord heeded the voice of a human person. You see, up until now, in Joshua, there have been a number of so-called natural miracles. The first one was crossing the Jordan, chapter 3. And we're sort of told that what was used to pull back the waters in the River Jordan so the Israelites could cross over was wind. Then we come to chapter 6. And what happened in chapter 6? Of course, you remember the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. Okay? Came tumbling down. And what was used to dismantle, deconstruct the walls of Jericho? They did the Mexican wave. Do you remember that? They all encircled the city and then they blew their trumpets and they did something else. What did they do? They shouted. Okay, so we had the wind with the river and we had the yelling with the wall. Now we have this natural miracle. And what was the natural dimension that helped this miracle? Beg your pardon? A person, Joshua, asked. Okay? Here's my point this morning. It is very good, I think.
And the point of this that I really want you to get across is this. Now get this. And hopefully I'll be able to say it with all due respect. There is a God at the center of the universe. And he's just dying for you to tell him what to do. Because it says that the God heeded. Do you know what that word heed means? Shema in Hebrew? It means God obeyed. I think that's incredible. That there is a God at the center of the universe who is truly sovereign, but he has a servant heart, and he comes to you and me and he says, please tell me what to do, tell me what you want, and I will heed your voice. Have you ever met anyone else like that? Now, Jesus said something very similar. Come with me to, let's go to John 14, verse 14. Could we do that? John 14, verse 14. And as soon as someone has found it, could they read it out aloud? So no one wants to find it now. John 14, 14. Has someone got it? Yes, Julia, you've got a big, loud voice. And again, and again. Whoa. Ask me. That's what God is saying. Please ask. God is asking that you ask. Now if we go to, say, Matthew 7, 7. Okay, Matthew 7, 7. Could someone turn that up? Has someone got it? Scotty, go for it, mate. And again, in a big, louder voice. Stand up, bro. Yeah, come on. Okay. Stop. Say that again. And again. And again. Thank you, Scotty. We have a God who has a servant heart. And he says to us, please tell me what to do. Now, I've got to finish. When I first became a follower of Jesus, in those days, we would go along to a local church like this, and certain books would be doing the rounds. And there was one book that was doing the rounds when I... first became a follower. And the book was by a Korean pastor, Dr. Paul Yonggi Cho. Has anybody read Dr. Cho, Marie? Anybody else? Yeah, Tricia. And he wrote a book called The Fourth Dimension. Anybody read this? The Fourth Dimension, yes. And in this book, he tells this story, and it goes like this. It's a delightful story. And it goes to the heart of what we're doing this morning. Dr. Paul Yonggi Cho, he became a follower of Jesus. And he was born into a very poor family. He was very sick, and he was dramatically healed, actually. And then he started as a young adult into life, as it were. And he needed various things to help his work and so on, to help him in his work. Situation. So he got down on his knees one day and he talked to this God that we're talking about this morning, and he said, God, I need a chair, a desk, and a bike. Have you heard this? And so he'd read John 14, 14, he'd read Matthew 7, 7, he knew about the God of Joshua, the God that wants to be told what to do. So he gets down on his knees and he says, I want a chair, I want a desk, and I want a bike. This would help me to do what I need to do. He waited a month and nothing came. He waited 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, nothing. So after 6 months of waiting, he got absolute despairing and distraught, got down on his knees, and he said to this God, I've been asking for nigh on 6 months for these three things, and nothing is happening. And he heard a whisper. And the whisper said, I heard your prayer right from day one. And then, in somewhat frustration, Yongyi Cho said, well, why the heck? And then the whisper came back. And the whisper said, but Yongyi, don't you realize that your prayer was way too vague? And Yongyi said, what do you mean? And the whisper said, well, how many different types of chairs are there? And how many different types of desks? And how many different types of bikes do you think there are? Your prayer was way too vague. And Yongyi Cho said, do you mean I can be really specific? And the voice said, yes. So at that, Yongyi Cho said, okay, cancel all previous prayers. Cancel all previous prayers. And so then he got down on his knees and he said this. And I think we can trust this story. He said, God, I want a chair made in Japan that has the rollers at the bottom of the wheels. Number one. Number two, he said, the desk, I want it made out of mahogany and to come from the Philippines. Number two. And the bike, I want it made in the US. So he's being really global here. Made in US, and I want the gears and all those kind of things to be on the side. So he had a particular picture in mind. And believe it or not, all three items arrived. Different times and different ways. But all three items arrived. Now, I've had that experience. You see, we have a God at the center of the universe who is sovereign but has a servant heart, who loves you. Absolutely loves you. Has so much affection for you. And in a sense, he wants to be your servant. He doesn't want just to be your sovereign. He wants to be your servant. This is incredible. And he says to you, tell me what you want me to do. And you see, I think for some of us here, our prayers that we've been praying for years have been way too vague. And our God is actually asking some of us here to be more specific. Now, this is not a magic bullet. I am not saying that therefore everything will be answered. I am just saying that there is a rule of faith here that we can ask for specific things. And I know some of us here, and you're thinking, I don't want to go there. I could be disappointed yet again. Do you know the thing that I've learned? You persist, and you continue, and you keep crying out. And you never give up. So some of us here have got things on our hearts that we've been praying for a long time. And you need to cancel all previous prayers. You need to be more specific. Are you praying for someone? And you know how we pray? We often say, oh God, I just want you to fix this other person up or this situation. That is way too vague. can narrow that down into detailed specifics. Oh God, I would love it that I could have a talk with that person within 2 weeks. And God goes, oh, I just love it when you tell me what to do. What an amazing God. So could I have the musicians up? Everybody stand up, please.